The cereal shock jocks would have you believe that it's all about the crunch, but sometimes if you crunch too loud, maybe you'll miss the calling of birds or other nice sounds that there are. Hey, and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name's Dan Goubert, and I am a veritable cornucopia of cereal insight.
Today, we are going to try something different, and let's do a meditative podcast about cereal. And what that means is for the next 30 minutes or so, you can just relax. Just relax and think about cereal. That's it. We're not asking anything else of you.
Oh, thank goodness.
You just need to think about cereal. We'll have some news, a brief review, and in the third segment, we'll have some fun. You know, we'll just relax. We'll cut loose. It'll be great. But first, Dan, I have to say, I am overwhelmed by this outpouring here at these typical doldrums of the year, this outpouring of scoops.
Right. Last episode, we had to entirely modify our agenda just because there was...
We had to travel through time.
Yeah, there was a glacial trickle of new cereal news, and now it's blasting us like a fire hose. Just because General Mills has announced their 2024 new cereal lineup. And I gotta say, it's pretty exciting, at least from my perspective.
What's the number one headline for you in the Dan Goubert Times?
I'm super excited about this trio of loaded cereals. This is something that General Mills has tried multiple times now.
They must have overbought like cereal frosting at some point. Like we had to keep sneaking it into cereals to get it out of here.
They got a big water tower somewhere over in Minnesota, just full of this white sugar goo.
It's where the Warners live.
you know me. I love filled cereals. I'm a big Crave evangelist, despite what the detractors may say. So I always love. A really dense cereal that's got, you know, a hollow shell with something even more exciting going on inside. But while Crave has been like a mainstay on cereal aisle shelves for years now, it seems that every time General Mills tries to take a similar approach, they end up just phasing it off shelves or sometimes not even bringing it onto shelves entirely.
I don't feel like anybody has quite matched the crispiness that Crave has achieved. I feel like they're the only ones with the courage to have a light cereal surrounding the filling, where everybody else, I think, goes too dense. Those Philos, I remember, those were like, oh, that was rough. It was like eating a can of frosting.
So that's what started General Mills' quest here to take on filled cereals was the Philos, where those came out in Hershey's Cookies and Cream and Pillsbury Cinnamon Roll varieties. And, I mean, they definitely were... like so hyper decadent that it really blurred the line between breakfast and dessert more so than cereal normally does, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like them, but obviously consumers didn't like them so much, so they petered off shelves within a year. And then they were demoing these like filled bites was what they were called, and they tried a Golden Graham S'mores variety and a Cinnamon Toast Crunch variety as well. And those were also good. I mean, I really liked the Golden Grahams ones so much, but those ones never even reached mainstream shelves at all. Like, they only came out in test markets, and I had to have someone send me some of the sample boxes, so I guess they must not have tested very well at all. But once again, I guess I'm just the minority here, and, like, I guess I don't even know why I'm... the thought leader on the cereal podcast here, if my tastes seem to be wildly unpopular with the majority of American cereal fans.
It calls into question the underpinnings of the entire project, honestly, Dan.
Yeah, but I mean, there must be some nugget of inspiration there if they're going to keep trying it, because now we are getting General Mills loaded cereals. These are coming out in Cinnamon Toast Crunch loaded bites. Well, they're not even called bites. It's just Cinnamon Toast Crunch loaded. And I'm just adding the bites because just saying Cinnamon Toast Crunch loaded doesn't sound like a full cereal name to me. But We've also got Cocoa Puffs loaded, as well as Trix loaded. And they all have cereal shells reflecting their respective namesake cereals. And then they all have similar vanilla cream filling. Except, if you look at the three boxes here, every single one of them spells vanilla cream differently.
What? Why, Dan?
Well, I guess the Cocoa Puffs and Trix ones put the accent in the same place, but they use a different stylization of it, which is also weird. But the Cinnamon Toast Crunch one inexplicably loses the accent mark on the E.
That is so weird.
Yeah, I mean, they probably just didn't catch that, but it does seem to be a recurring thing in the cereal aisle, and I always had trouble with this, where if there's a cookies and cream cereal, you can bet that no two cereals are spelling it the same, whether it's an ampersand, just the letter N, perhaps the letter N with some apostrophes, and then you throw the different spellings of cream, creme, and creme, cream, creme. It all just starts to blur together, and there's endless permutations. Yeah. There just needs to be a consistent style guide there.
Yeah, they gotta settle on this. What else was in this big cereal reveal?
So we've also got Reese's Puffs Peanut Butter Lovers Edition. Now this one was surprising to me just because Reese's Puffs almost never gets variants, much like Golden Grahams in that respect, where like the mainstay version of that cereal is just so popular that I guess they never really try to spin it off. There have been like Reese's Puffs bats and bunnies, and they even got like the crispy clusters recently, but nothing quite so dramatic until now as this Reese's Puffs Peanut Butter Lover cereal, which, as you might imagine, just removes all of the chocolate pieces, leaving behind only the peanut butter pieces. And I wouldn't say this appeals to me personally all that strongly, just because I think the great part about Reese's Puffs is the interplay between the chocolate and the peanut butter. But when I posted about this, a lot of people seem to be rejoicing about it. So there's definitely an audience for this. Once again, me proving that I'm out of touch with everyone who's listening right now. But I mean, I guess the fact that Cap'n Crunch's Peanut Butter Crunch has been on shelves forever also means that there are a lot of people who will buy this all peanut butter corn puff cereal. I mean, I'll certainly try it. I think that the Reese's Puffs powdery finish will definitely set it apart from the Cap'ns.
Yeah, it's a whole other flavor, but like Reese's peanut butter is a classic flavor in and of itself. Be interesting to taste that in isolation. I can't say I ever got big chocolate flavor from Reese's Puffs, but hey. Probably worth a shot, right? Why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario, I'll mix it with Cocoa Puffs and just make my own. That's a hack. What else? What else was new?
So also Cheerios is dropping two new varieties as well. One is a bit less interesting. It is Honey Nut Cheerios Minis. I bet most of us forgot about General Mills' strange fixation on miniaturizing cereals, because they had like the Lucky Charms minis, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch minis, and I believe Reese's Puffs minis as well, none of which quite made a splash in the cereal aisle, probably because they were too small to make a splash, I guess. But again, someone must be asking for them, because we're getting Honey Nut Cheerios minis as well. Honey Nut Cheerios being like the best-selling cereal in America for several years running, can't really go wrong with this. I think it's, once again, a no-brainer and an all-grainer. But and that's about I got to say about that.
Well, yeah, at least you closed big.
Yeah. But the other new Cheerios variety is much more exciting and innovative, I would say. This is Maple Cinnamon Cheerios Hearty Nut Medley. There's a lot going on here. So obviously you've got Maple Cinnamon Cheerios as the base, which is already a Cheerios flavor, which does not exist. So that could have been a new Cheerios in and of itself. But they didn't stop there, because they're also adding crispy flakes, almonds, and pumpkin seeds to the mix here. So if I'm talking about cornucopias, now this is a cornucopia.
It's huge.
Of course, more like an otocopia. But I'm really on my game today.
You're on fire, Dan. I feel like you're compensating for the fact that your taste has been called into question by the internet.
Yeah, I gotta have something to offer the listeners here. If I can't be the industry tastemaker, I can at least be the court jester.
You mean it's Andy Rooney? Oh my gosh. I can't believe there's more. There's so many cereals, Dan. They really just went all in it.
Well, it is that time of the year. For some reason,
yeah.
They just launch them all at the start of each respective year.
That Hardy Nut Melody looks so good, man. This is all I can think about. Look at that guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Cheerios Oat Crunch really proved that Cheerios is such a good base to just level off of and create this complex mega structure of a cereal around. And
yeah,
it was going to be good. But these last two from General Mills, you know, not as outwardly exciting, but still worth bringing up. First, we've got Berry Swirl Lucky Charms, which include new berry marshmallows. Berry Lucky Charms have been out for a while. I'm not really a huge fan, just because it inexplicably, once again, like every Lucky Charms spinoff, switches the oat-based cereal pieces for corn ones, which just immediately downgrades the cereal in my eyes.
100%.
But they are trying to compensate, I guess, for that in some way by introducing these new berry marshmallows, which allegedly have actual berry flavor in them. You don't really see flavored Marbits very often outside of, like, the chocolate ones in Count Chocula. So I definitely never encountered a berry-flavored marshmallow before, not to my knowledge, at least, so...
Well, that's exciting. Maybe that'd be good. Who knows? I really don't like the pieces they use for the corn-based Lucky Charms.
Yeah. I mean, they did change up the color of them, too, in this cereal. Again, just aesthetic changes. But instead of just having red pieces for their berry Lucky Charms, it does appear that there are some lime green, darker green, and purple ones as well, and orange ones, so... A whole lot of color going on here. Like, this is a more colorful cereal than Trix, and I didn't even think that was possible.
It is nothing if not vibrant.
I mean, it's probably just going to taste like Trix with marshmallows, which is a fantastic segue into the last cereal on General Mills' new cereal lineup, which is Trix with marshmallows. Also not a new concept at all, but the shape of the marshmallows is new because they have Trix marshmallows shaped like the Trix rabbit, which really seems like a kick in the butt to the Trix rabbit himself, because he spent so long trying to get this Trix cereal, and now he can't even have a taste of his own shaped Marbits. But
it's miserable. It's really cruel.
Yeah, it's hard out there for a cereal-seeking rabbit. In this economy...
And I mean, I feel like if you're gonna be the mascot, they should at least let you. I mean, they're using his likeness rights.
Yeah, that's for the so exploitative.
He can't even eat one. It's really messed up. He's got a bad beat, poor guy. He's trying though. He's a good dad. Trix Rabbit's probably a bad dad. Now that I think about it, I don't feel like he would be a very good father. That would be a good question. We should rank how good of a dad cereal mascots are sometime, Dan. I think that would be really a good use of our time here on Earth.
We're approaching our 100 episode special. What better way to celebrate than that?
Now this next one, this is not a General Mills joint, is it?
No, this is an entirely new joint entirely.
And this is an inspiration to me. I gotta say, Dan, as someone who hosts a cereal podcast with you, seeing cereal enthusiasts be the change that they want to see in the world, I think is very inspirational.
This could be us. If they succeed, this could be us. But, you know Rhett and Link, right? From Good Mythical Morning.
Sure, yeah.
Really popular guys throughout the history of the internet, basically. They're launching their own cereal line, and unlike every other, like, independent cereal that I can think of that usually focuses on, like, being healthier or, you know, catering to certain specialty diets, Rhett and Link's new Mishmash cereal line is, you know, totally flipping the script on that, and they're just doubling down on the wackiness of cereal, which, you know, I'm all about. I think that's a super good idea. Specifically, their cereal line is focusing on both interesting cereal shapes, which is illustrated by their sweet Mac and Mellow cereal, which, you know, it doesn't taste like mac and cheese, but it's a corn and marshmallow cereal where the corn puffed pieces are basically shaped like long macaroni noodles. And it just seems really, like it have a really good mouthfeel. I'm just looking at it right now. I'm imagining myself drinking up the end of the milk using the macaroni pieces. And taste aside, I think that novelty is totally selling me. But they're also focusing on interesting flavor combinations, which is then exemplified by their other cereal that they're launching here, which is peanut butter and honey sandwich, which, to my knowledge, is not a flavor pairing that has ever been tried in the cereal aisle before.
No. It has been tried by me as a child infinite times, though. And we over here give it our heartiest recommendation as a flavor pairing.
Yeah, so that one's really exciting. Those pieces are kind of just shaped like, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch style squares, but I think... Well, are they Cinnamon
Toast Crunch? Did you ever have peanut butter and honey sandwiches as a kid?
No, I was a PB&J diehard. And I would say no. I still am. I don't know if I've even had a peanut butter and honey sandwich.
Well, now I think that would be the pairing. I mean, that's what I wanted to do next. As soon as you get these cereals in, I want you to eat both at the same time.
Eat the cereal?
Try both for the first time.
Like, put the cereal on the sandwich?
No, I think you should try the sandwich and be like, okay, that's what that is. Okay. And then try the cereal first, because when in your life are you going to be able to try the cereal, you know, before, it's like watching the movie before you read the book. You know, you'll be able to try that's the cereal true. Before that's you true. Try the real food.
Interesting. It's going to be a sticky taste test, I will say.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, these are already available online. You know, the price is definitely not what you'd get out of an in-store cereal box, but these independent cereals never really are. You're looking at this point at like $10 a box. You can get like a double pack, and then, like, you know, with shipping and taxes and all that, it ran me back to like $30 for two boxes. So,
but it's pricey on the way. For sure. I will say also, like, that having new piece shapes, That is expensive in the world of manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I listened to the Sporkful podcast when they were, the host of that show was inventing his own pasta, and like the process they have to go through creating molds and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, if you're doing new shapes, especially in independent cereal, like, they're putting the investment in. I'm a lot more comfortable paying more for an independent cereal if they're actually like doing something really, you know, interesting, and if it's something you can like feel good about.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely down for supporting smaller cereal industry. I am curious how they're making this cereal, because in their FAQ they say it's being made for you by an inventive and industry-leading production facility that specializes in cereal. So there's got to be some sort of backing here, because I'm sure they didn't create their own cereal extruder machines. There's got to be some sort of
With a co-packer, but I imagine with like more independent cereals, there's probably more people that are specializing in that sort of thing.
Yeah, so expect a review as soon as I get them. I'm excited to try.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anything else? Gosh, that's so much news, Dan. There can't be more.
There's just one more, and that is the return of Frosted Honey Bunches of Oats. I know you were waiting, dying for this. I'm sure you were totally even aware that they stopped making Frosted Honey Bunches of Oats in the first place, because I certainly was not. I mean, from my research, I think they discontinued Frosted Honey Bunches of Oats around a year ago, maybe even longer ago. But apparently there was enough of a demand to bring them back for a limited time in a winter-themed box specifically, which seems like a good theming for Frosted Honey Bunches of Oats, even if... My thing when I first tried these is it didn't really feel necessary. Because like Honey Bunches of Oats is already like absolute platonic perfection when it comes to perfect balance of all its cereal components in one. So I think by adding that really sweetened component, it just kind of tips the scales too much towards like one note sweetness. I might try it again if I get the chance. It's not the most exciting here, but as I was saying last time, the lineup of Christmas and holiday themed cereals isn't exactly all that exciting in the first place. Yeah. So if you, however you get your Holly Jollies, I won't judge.
I will. Dan, I just got to the reviews here. And I can't wait for to hear just like your lip balm experience.
Yeah, so I got these three Monster cereal lip balms. My friend Kristen gifted them to me. And I haven't tried them yet, so I don't really know if this can be considered a live taste test. More like a live based test, as I based my lips, I guess. I'm running low here. But I don't think these are strictly speaking new either. I couldn't exactly tell you when they first came out. But I got Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry here. Should I start with Count Chocula then?
I guess, yes.
This is the one that's most off-putting to me, the idea of a chocolate lip balm, so I don't know.
Then I would start with that, because there's nowhere to go but up.
What's the best way to test one of these? Do I just have to aggressively, like, smack my lips?
Yeah, and I think you're going to get, unless you have some sort of wiping implement, yeah, it's going to get pretty sticky in there.
I'm going to build up a sedimentary layer of Monster cereal lip balm here.
Okay, I'm on pins and needles, Dan. Go ahead and apply, and we'll see how it's going.
You got any anecdotes about lip balm to fill the airtime?
My wife is absolutely addicted to lip balm, and every time that I do the laundry, I routinely have to fish out 1 to 2 destroyed tubes of lip balm. This is a habit she has now passed on to my children. So now when I run the dryer, it sounds approximately like a Tommy gun just full blast going with all these lip balms rattling around.
So the Count Chocula one doesn't really taste like kind of tastes more like cocoa butter, but maybe with like a hint of orange. That can't be an appealing sound for people using this to fall asleep.
It's somebody's something. I shouldn't have laughed so loud. I'm sorry, folks, if you're trying to sleep. Some people like mouth noises to sleep. We could serve all audiences simultaneously with this show. So not much chocolate flavor.
No.
That is Dan's take on that.
Not much flavor, honestly. I don't think this would satisfy my hunger if I was looking for a full meal.
If you're looking for a quick, satisfying snack, this lip balm leaves a lot to be desired.
Okay, I'm going to do Frankenberry next. Oh, this is a vibrant magenta.
You'll just have to edit out the silence here, Dan.
Yeah, this one's even lighter in terms of flavor. It's like it's also nebulous. Like, it's definitely nothing like Frankenberry the cereal. They definitely just took an existing lip balm flavor of the generically pink-berried variety. It's literally on the tip of my tongue right now. I can't really articulate it.
It is literally on the tip of your tongue. Mm-hmm.
I might just apply it right to the tip of my tongue, actually.
Just eat the chapstick, Dan.
I mean, should I just gnaw off a hunk of it at this point?
I mean, like, you just gotta eat a hunk of the chapstick. I think it's what everybody's...
Well, now it just tastes like a crayon.
Okay. Hopefully. I expect big things from Booberry. I think Booberry is going to turn this whole ship around. I feel really confident about that.
What really disturbs me about the Booberry from the outset is that they used the controversial Booberry like wonky lip character design on the packaging. Are you familiar with that?
I don't
look
know.
Look up Booberry lip balm and look up and okay. look at the character render that they use. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, he's kind of sleazy.
Well, like if you look at like the side of his mouth, he's got this like hunk of folded in lip that was prevalent on all the box designs from that year. I am convinced that that is a graphic design error because it just I don't understand how that is anatomically possible, even for a ghost.
What is that?
That's what happens to you if you don't use Booberry lip balm.
I'm looking at the other lip balms. No, everyone else looks like a normal human. Well, not a human, obviously, but regular people. And then Booberry just has that weird skin. Oh, man. I don't even know where to tell people to find images anymore. but it's that, just look for the Booberry lip balm, folks. It's wild. How's the flavor, though?
This one's the most interesting. It's definitely the most potent. Okay. Again, nothing like Booberry. It's like an icy blue raspberry, but also with like a refreshing element to it. And almost like, smells like the laundry room at a hotel.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. I might wear that. Might. I'd say if I were ranking all three of the monsters in terms of kissability, like who I would want to kiss, if this is what it's going to taste like, I would definitely kiss Booberry. Issues of incorporeality aside. And then...
So look forward to that ranking. It'll join our which cereal mascots are the best ads. Then the week after that, as part of this 100th episode event, we'll rank the most kissable mascots.
Yeah, I'd probably pick Frankenberry after that. I probably wouldn't want to kiss Count Chocula just because of the risk of vampiric infection, but...
Sure, of course. Hey, you know, that was a pretty spooky segue into our question here, which only means that it mentions the monsters and is Halloween related. Hello, Dan and Justin. Love the podcast. You've helped me find sleep on many restless nights. Thank you. That's such an honor. I did Halloween trivia this year and I was losing hard. I had -3 points at one point, but being a listener of your podcast saved me. I bet all my points on the final question. The General Mills Monster cereals start with Frankenberry and Count Chocolate in 71. Name the other four cereals in this line. Without your podcast, I would have lost all my points, but I doubled them instead and ended up in fifth place. Thank you for saving my trivia reputation. You know, I have to say the conclusion of that is absolutely perfect for a podcast that people are trying to fall asleep to. I'm glad it wasn't an exciting thing like I turned around and won. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A fifth place finish is not going to wake me up.
It's also crazy that they would expect people to be able to name Carmilla Creeper like after she just released. How many people would even... First of all, knowing Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy is already a deep cut, but expecting you to be on such the cutting edge of new cereal news to know about Carmilla is really crazy.
Yeah. And if the question is four other cereals in this line, I think you could throw in Monster Mash for extra credit.
Ooh, because
that is a cereal in the line.
That could have got them into fourth place.
Imagine the thrill in their child's eyes. This is a question also here. If you had to choose one cereal mascot to take your place on the podcast for one episode, who would it be and why?
See, that's a good question. I feel like I have to rule out a lot of cereal mascots automatically just because I feel like they'd be borderline unintelligible because some of them, their entire personality is just being borderline whacked out crazed for cereal.
Yeah.
Like, we're not putting Sonny the Cuckoo, the Trix Rabbit, or like that honeycomb crazy craving on this show, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like saying the monsters would be a little too easy, even though I do feel like Booberry could drop some witty quips in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Cap'n Crunch is probably a little too out of touch with the modern world, although that could be interesting in its own right. I guess I just feel like I don't really care about the opinions of most of the big cereal mascots anyway. They feel a little too big for their britches. Like, I don't like to listen to A-listers do podcast just because, you know, just makes me feel inadequate about my own life. I'd rather hear from some no-name cereal mascots and really get their experience of what it was like to try and scrape by in the industry. Like,
yeah.
I want to hear what Big Mix has to say. I want to hear what the beaver from Crunchy Logs has to say.
Do you think my pick was going to be Chef Wendell to mark to celebrate 40 years of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We have Chef Wendell on the show. I feel like he is really connected to cereal history. He'd be excited to talk because he hasn't appeared on a box since.
Do you think,
like,
he's bitter about it now?
This is my question, right? I gotta know if he's bitter. He hasn't been in the box since '09. That's a long time.
I guess if we could pick two co-hosts, I'd love to hear the banter between Quake and Quisp. Quake and Quisp. Also hard to say.
Oh, those two.
The, like, construction worker? Is that who the Quake guy was, right?
I think so. And then Quisp was the... Quake was, like, the ranger, right? And then Quisp was the alien?
I mean, Quisp is definitely an alien. Quake is...
Yeah.
Quake.
Looks like a construction worker now. You say that he's got a mining hat on.
Yeah, I think some good perspective from them could be nice. Any of those rival cereals like that. Maybe get some guest stars from other Quaker all-stars like the Quangaroo and some of the B-listers from Cap'n Crunch's universe. Anything to give a voice to those undersung mascots.
Yeah, I'd love to have them on the show. Any mascots are welcome. I think I would like to hear from everybody.
Yeah, have your agents reach out to us.
Yeah. You can get a hold of us by emailing mail@bowl.rest. That is the perfect place to send communique if you are wanting to ask us a question or if you are a cereal mascot that would consent to an interview. We would love to have you. That is our website address, by the way, too, bowl.rest. You can go there to pledge some money to the show. Half of that will go to keep this show going, and then the other half of that goes to Harmony House, a shelter for people experiencing homelessness in my area of West Virginia. So thank you for your support. It means a lot to us. Anybody else we owe gratitude to, Dan?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our amazing podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rardin for designing our Empty Bowl merchandise.
I believe that is all we have time for on this week's episode. So until next time, for Dan Goubert, my name is Justin McElroy, and as always,
don't forget to drink the milk using a long macaroni-shaped cereal piece.
That was very expensive to engineer, probably.
Also, my lips are glazed like donuts right now.